The following is a Learfield presentation of the Vanderbilt Sports Network. Commodore Hour is on the air. Over the next hour, we'll discuss the latest around Vanderbilt athletics and hear from players, coaches, and administrators. Commodore Hour is brought to you by Gupton Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Springfield, Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt Athletics, and by the Middle Tennessee Ford Dealers, built Ford tough. Now, here are your hosts, Andrew Allegretta and Kevin Ingram.
Welcome into tonight's edition of the Commodore Hour. Andrew Allegretta here with Kevin Ingram coming up on tonight's program. With football having a bye this week, we'll talk with Jerry Stackhouse as the men's basketball team gets ready for the start of this season. Plus, we'll talk with Chris Griffin as Vanderbilt has unveiled its new Black and Gold Network, which helps connect former student-athletes with current student-athletes. So Clark Lee and the football team, they're off recruiting. We'll talk basketball coming up shortly here with Kevin Ingram. But first, let's talk about the football game that we saw just a couple of days ago. Another one of these games for the Vanderbilt Commodores in which you walk away going, they did some darn good things. Mm-hmm. It's just you're hurting for that result so badly, and they just came up a little bit short once again in the result category.
Yeah, those one of the first things I asked Coach Lee after the games, like, hey, you had to be thrilled with your guys' effort. And he said, yeah, well, that's expected. What we really want are the results. And, yeah, there were spots in this game where he felt like, man, Vanderbilt's got a real chance to get this thing done. Had a couple times in the first half. Missouri hit on the Hail Mary right at halftime. That was certainly a big turn of events right there after the fake kick. And then toward the end of the game, Vanderbilt scores to make it 30-28 with about 3 minutes left. And you're thinking, boy, you get one more stop here. You get off the field, you come down, you got a chance to win this thing. Missouri, to their credit, Beatty is a fantastic football player, and he was every bit of that on Saturday. Big play, Missouri scores, and that's basically your game. But, yeah, there were a lot of things to take away from that game where you said, okay, that was a positive step, but just a disappointing result going to an open week, and now you have a little bit of time to kind of get away a little bit. I know they're going to practice a couple days this week, but guys, just kind of get away and rest and kind of gear up for this final stretch of the season with 3 games to play.
Yeah, I think it was definitely one of those late buys, and there was certainly a sense of a mental reset as much as a mm-hmm. physical reset here this week for the football program. I did think what Coach said was interesting about that moment, the Hail Mary that Mizzou comes up with, certainly incredibly significant in that ball game. No one's sitting here going that wasn't significant. Obviously it was. But I think his point was you still have 30 minutes left of football, and they felt like the score was, 17-14 going into halftime, and that's a moment in which Vanderbilt should be able to bounce back from. And they did to an extent, but maybe not as quickly as they needed to, yeah. Right? You get the football to start the second half, and I'm sure there's a desire from Coach Lynch and Coach Lee that they take that opening drive and they get points out of it, tie the football game, and it's almost, air quotes, like the Hail Mary never happened. So that didn't work out to their advantage. We saw the offense kind of find something that really works for them with Mike Wright. They, I think, did, and I don't have the percentages of the breakdowns, but I think they did more of the option offense with Mike Wright. We saw multiple, basically 70-yard runs mm-hmm. from him in this football game, really off of the option attack there. And again, I recognize the fact that Mizzou struggles to defend the run. But as you keep going back, looking for these things, going, okay, how does Vanderbilt mold itself this season and into next season? What's going to work? What are the pieces going to look like? You circle stuff like that and say, okay, boy, that was a data point of something yeah. that really works for them.
Yeah, I like a lot of the things they did in the run game. I mean, you look at it, you gain over 200 yards on the ground. 258, I guess, to be exact. Missouri had 284, so both teams had big days rushing, but Vanderbilt did a lot of nice things. Whether it was, I thought Mike made good decisions, at times where to the keep or to hand it off on the option, or saw quarterback draws, all sorts of different things. Patrick Smith did a nice job. Rocco Griffin was down and out of the game, but Patrick stepped up. The freshman really continues to impress in a lot of different ways, but yeah, really good work on the ground. And then the passing attack, 14 of 28, so it wasn't like you're chucking it up there a whole lot on Saturday, but I thought Mike overall did a good job, had the one turnover, but you know, he started three games now, and kind of see what the injury situation looks like with Ken Seals when we get back from the break. Maybe he's back. Maybe Wright continues as the starter. But, yeah, on the ground especially, I think you're right. I mean, those are some things that Vanderbilt can use going forward.
How about the fact that Mike Wright becomes the first Vandy quarterback to throw for three touchdowns since Kyle Shermer did it back in 2018? Because two of those ones that sort of look like rushes because their pitches go down as touchdown passes.
Hey,
so
it looks like a bomb in the box score, doesn't it?
Right. It says right there, three touchdown passes in the box score that I'm looking at.
Things are so interesting, though, because like the one to Gavin Schoenwald, the same way, it's just like the little Utah pass or whatever you call it.
Yes, for sure. it definitely was like, oh, that's right. That goes down as a passing touchdown for Mike. Once that all happens, you know, I think the next step too, and this is no surprise, but it's going to be consistency out of all of these guys. Like Patrick Smith has a nice day. Mm-hmm. Can he continue to have a nice day against a tougher defense in Kentucky coming up in, at this point, about 2 weeks? Can Mike Wright build on what he did offensively on the ground against Kentucky? You know, I asked Norman Jordan too, after the ball game, what the quarterback situation looks like. And by no means are we putting words in the mouth of Coach Clark Lee or Coach Lynch, but you understand why each one of these guys, whether it's Ken Seals or Mike Wright, has some sort of skill set that makes you want to put them on the field, right? Mm-hmm. Like simply saying, oh, it's Ken's offense is too easy because of what we just saw with Mike, or saying that, oh, we've got to put Mike out there every single play is too easy because you recognize the way that Ken can throw the football, and figuring out exactly how those two players can combine to make the best version of your offense for these three final weeks is going to be an interesting thing to watch.
It really is. And you know, I think it's interesting for the receivers too. I think the secret is out on Will Shepard, and people were paying so much attention to him. I mean, it's pretty clear week to week, but you know, you saw some good performances. Cam Johnson had a nice day, scored a couple times. Chris Pierce got the football. I think he was the leading receiver overall in terms
of four catches, 54 yards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, you saw the ball spread around to a lot of different people. We saw James Ziegler get some touches, both rushing and also one reception as well for 19 yards. So you saw the ball spread around a lot. But, yeah, the receivers, you know, in this final stretch of games, whether it's Mike or Ken pulling the trigger, you know, those guys will be key as well because, yeah, you're not going to be able to stack up 258 rushing yards against those last three opponents.
A couple of quick notes before we turn the page. Kentucky, I believe, will be a 6 p.m. kickoff right here at Vanderbilt Stadium. That is a blackout game, so the team will wear black head to toe, so wear your black as well. I thought this was interesting. Is it relevant in terms of winning a football game? Not necessarily, but that interception that Max Worship had in the first quarter, that was the first time all season that Mizzou's offense had been stopped and did not score a point in the red zone. They were 21 for 21, including 18 touchdowns throughout the course of the season. So that interception by Worship, the first time the Tigers were stopped in the red zone this season.
That was a really big play, too, because you think about the momentum of that game. Vanderbilt was staring 17-0 in the face at that point. I think it was 10-0. They blocked the punt, got the football in great field position, as you say, in the red zone. And Max got that interception that stopped all that. Commodores go down and score, and it totally changed the football game. That's one thing you've liked about these interceptions. You think about this stretch now of 5 weeks where Vanderbilt's come up with at least one pick in every game. It's not just been getting the interceptions. It's been doing something with the interceptions, making the most of them. And, you know, sometimes it hasn't necessarily been a short field. It wasn't that way in that situation on Saturday. But they've been able to take those turnovers and turn them into points.
Real quickly, congratulations on the full season for Vandy soccer. A very nice full season. Obviously, a disappointing finish just yesterday against Florida.
Oh, yeah. It was a heartbreaker against Florida. Vanderbilt was within about 2 minutes of advancing. Florida was able to score and tie it. They played two pretty tense overtime periods and got to penalty kicks, and Florida won. But Vanderbilt ends up 500 on the season. It was one of those years where Vanderbilt really played well in a lot of the matches, especially in SEC play. They were in every match. It was just a matter of finding that goal scoring. So yeah, Coach Ambrose and his staff, they've been together for all the years that they've been here, and just really – always make it super easy for the job I do calling some of the matches on TV, and really pull for that crew. And it was a tough finish yesterday, but overall I think there's a lot to be proud of, especially for a senior class
yes.
that accomplished as much as that group did, with four straight trips to the NCAA tournament and also some form of an SEC championship in three consecutive seasons.
Fingers crossed for the NCAA tournament, but we're not naive to the RPI rankings, which are probably not where Vanderbilt wants them to be at the moment, but we'll find out. Fingers crossed for the NCAA tournament. So let's step aside. Coming back in just a couple of seconds with Chris Griffin, he'll talk about the Black and Gold Network that Vandy has just established to help connect current student athletes with former student athletes. That is a big push for Athletic Director Candace Lee. So good to see that get off the ground. Gus Whittakamp is back inside our US Bank studios a little bit later on here today. He'll have our keys to the game as we look forward to Kentucky in 2 weeks. And don't forget, Jerry Stackhouse comes up at about 6:30 here tonight. But for Kevin, I'm Andrew. We're going to hit pause, come back in just a couple of seconds. We've got Chris Griffin on the other side of this timeout. Welcome back to the Commodore Hour. Andrew Allegretti here. Coming up shortly, we'll talk with head men's basketball coach Jerry Stackhouse as they're just about 1 week from opening tip-off here of this 21-22 season. But first, we're pleased to welcome the director of the Black and Gold Club, Chris Griffin, as they've just unveiled a fantastic new platform that I'm learning about. We've all learned about over the past week or so. Chris, I know it's something that's been in the works for quite some time here, but quite simply, you guys unveiled the Black and Gold Club Network. So let's start there. What is that?
Yeah, Andrew, thanks for having me. I'm glad to share and to be here to talk with you about it. But the Black and Gold Club Network is just the online platform that we're now going to be using as a club in order to communicate directly with all of our alumni and all of our current student athletes. So whenever we have events or tailgates or ticket offers, things like that, we can put that onto the network for all of our alumni to easily access at their leisure. So no need for, you know, bombarding emails and, you know, sending out all types of text messages and calling everyone. We can easily upload that information into the network and they will have access to it whenever they can. What's also great about it is that it is built upon connecting our alumni with each other. So there's an online, database of all of our alumni. So you can look them up, see where they are, reach out to them and message them within the same platform. And the same for our current student athletes. They can log into this platform, look up alumni who they potentially want to reach out for mentorship opportunities or any other opportunities within their specific careers. And that'll be an opportunity for them to take that power in their own hands and be able to utilize the network that is Vanderbilt University. So super excited about it. There are so many more benefits to this program, and there are going to be continuous updates to the website as well, so that our alumni are always going to have great benefits from being a part of it. So I'm just excited to have it, excited to launch it, and excited to get as many of our alumni into it and creating their profiles as possible.
You know, I've been hearing about this kind of throughout the course of the fall semester as you guys have worked through it and gotten ready to launch the program. And I recognize the fact, too, Chris, that this has been a high priority for Dr. Lee. Candace Lee has wanted to get something like this off the ground and do, I guess, a more robust job of connecting, you know, the university with former student athletes, letting current student athletes connect with former student athletes, everything that you just talked about. Why is that something that has been a high priority for you guys? Why is this something that you've focused, you know, really specific energy on?
Andrew, being a former student athlete myself, I can understand what a student athlete goes through on a daily basis. The practices, the film study, not having all the time and the resources to be able to go and set themselves up for, you know, the 40 years after the 4 years of being a student. And so we wanted to make this a priority because there is a huge gap where our current student athletes are and where the students are from who are not student athletes. And we wanted to help them to be successful in every aspect outside of the field and their playing arenas. And so Dr. Lee brought presented this opportunity with the strategic plan as a way to engage all of our former student athletes. And we're also inclusive of our student managers, student training staff, and Spirit Squad members. And these are the folks who allow or place Vanderbilt Athletics, you know, at the top of their priority list in order to help Vanderbilt Athletics become where it is today. And so they're a priority for us because they made us a priority in their lives. And we have to do more to give back, re-engage with them, and let them know that we truly care for them and their success. And this is something that should have been done, in my opinion, quite a while ago. So we're doing a lot of catch up here, and that's understandable. And we're now on par with a lot of our peers and creating a network that is truly valuable for our former student athletes. And honestly, no one is going to be able to do it better than we can. And that's what this new platform is going to do for us.
Well, and at the risk of being, I guess, mildly simplistic, too, you know, like there's a press release you guys put out, I guess, maybe last week, if people want to check it out on VUCommodores.com. Again, speaking with Chris Griffin, the director of the Black and Gold Club, as you guys have just put out the Black and Gold Club Network for former student athletes. And this is great. You know, it says includes, like you talked about, a job board and other career development tools for current and former student athletes here at Vanderbilt. I just keep thinking to my color analyst in the booth, which is Norman Jordan, and he played football here early 80s, and he's gone on to just a really successful, you know, financial career. And it's not only do you get to reconnect with former student athletes, but so many have gone on for really tremendous success in all fields. Like, we want our student athletes to pursue professional opportunities athletically if they can, but this network is going to set people up with some really, really high achievers in a lot of different disciplines, right?
Absolutely. Of course, you know, every kid's dream is to, you know, go pro. If you're coming to play sports at a collegiate level, you're fully intent on working your butt off to get better and hopefully go professional. But just in reality, you know, there are only so many people who can get to that level. And so there is so much more that happens outside of that. And if you're so dedicated to, you know, your life and setting yourself up for a pro sports career, you're going to miss out probably on setting yourself up for the pro finance career or the pro any other career that you're considering. So talking with guys like Norman, like, folks, we really want to be able to share the knowledge and the advice that we've learned throughout our years, but there hasn't been a formal avenue for doing so within the Vanderbilt Athletics community. And so this platform, the Black and Gold Club itself, and the relationships that I'm having with the student athlete development team and the different coaching staffs and their staffs as well, we're bridging that gap between our alumni and our current student athletes. And not only is that beneficial for the current student athletes, but there are younger alumni or even older alumni who are looking to change careers or go into different fields. They now have access to guys like Norman and to other guys who have been very successful in their respective careers and can share knowledge with them and help them out in several different ways. So really excited about all of that. And there's so much more to come.
Talking with Chris Griffin, the director of the Black and Gold Club, as they've launched the Black and Gold Club Network. We'll step aside here on the Commodore Hour, continue our conversation in just a couple of seconds after this across the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield. Welcome back to the Commodore Hour. Andrew Allegretti here talking on the phone with Chris Griffin, who's over in Memphis right now for a Black and Gold Club event. As, of course, it's a bye week here, so we're talking with Coach Jerry Stackhouse of the basketball program in just a couple of seconds, as Clark Lee is off in Memphis talking with some folks. I want to get to that in just a second, Chris, because I know Coach has been so eager to get out there and meet some people, and you guys are tailing off of that, which is great. But the last thing that I wanted to touch on just real quickly on the Black and Gold Club Network before we talk a little bit about some of the events you've done with football over the past, I guess, 4 to 5 months. I just want to make sure, if a former student athlete is listening or whatever it happens to be, how can they get involved? Where do they need to go to make sure that they get connected, whether it's a current student athlete, whether it's a former, if there's anybody out there that's interested in making sure they're involved in all of that, where do they need to go? Who do they need to reach out to?
Absolutely. Thank you for allowing this opportunity. And what I will say easily is give me a call or send me an email. My email is chris.griffin@vanderbilt.edu, and I can help them in every single aspect of how to log on to the network, ensuring that we have the correct contact information for them so they are receiving our emails and they do receive all the information that they need in order to access all of our great benefits. But really excited for our alumni to just get engaged and reach out to us. And so I'll make it as easy as possible for them. So just have them give them a call or shoot me an email, and we'll take care of everything from there.
Again, that's the Black and Gold, club network that Vandy Athletics has just released. It's a new digital platform that's connecting current and former Commodores across the country and around the world. It's a really unique program that Vandy is putting out there right now. So, obviously,
I did want to say that we're also on social media, so they can follow us there as well. We're on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter at Vandy BG Club. That's at Vandy BG Club, and happy to have them on there, and they can reach out to us via that avenue as well.
Yeah, good. Like we talked about in the last segment here, there's just every story that I hear about a former student athlete here at Vanderbilt's not dissimilar to the student population. There's so many wonderful achievements out there. So it's good now that there's this formalized avenue to connect the current and the former. As mentioned, Chris Griffin on the phone here, director of the Black and Gold Club in Memphis tonight, because that's where Clark Lee is. What have you been able to do? I know you did some events in the summer. What are you doing now about just getting out there with Coach Lee? He's meeting some folks. You're tailing off of that. What are you guys up to tonight?
I'll start by saying that this club was launched just a little over a year ago. And in the middle of a pandemic, of course, perfect timing. So not able to have a lot of the events and the engagement opportunities in person as we would have liked to have done over this past year. However, now that more people are becoming better at being socially responsible, we have been able to do a little bit more with our coaches and able to get out on the road and visit with alumni in different areas outside of Nashville. Of course, we're welcoming alumni back to campus now for games and tailgates throughout the year, but we've primarily been on Zoom calls for the longest this past year. But just starting this summer, Coach Lee made it an initiative of his to get out and see a lot of our alumni in the many different regions across the U.S. And so we've had some alumni gatherings in various cities over the summer. And then this week we're in Memphis, my hometown. So happy to be back here and welcoming all of the football alumni who live in this area to gather with Coach Lee and get a chance to meet with him and speak with him and also engage with each other in the area. I'm sure there's a lot of them who don't know each other and didn't know that they lived in the same, you know, neighborhood possibly. And so wanted to make sure that they have the opportunity to gather, hear from him. He does a great job of welcoming our alumni. He tells them that he wants them to come to campus, come to practice, reach out to them. It's pretty much an open door for our alumni to stay engaged that way. And so we'll continue to do those with him. We'll have events around various games, away games as well, and not just for football. We'll join this for all of our sports. And so we encourage all of our alumni to just, you know, tap in, respond to those emails, respond to those event invitations, and get out, because these are unique opportunities that we're trying to provide. These are not open to everyone, the entire public, general public. This is exclusively for our former student athletes and our athletics alumni. And we want them to know that this is special. We're treating them special. And these are opportunities that they need to take advantage of, because while we're doing it, we're going to make sure that we're doing it proper. And they are more than welcome to attend all of it and so much more.
Last thing I'll get you out of here on, Chris, is look, I within the walls of the McGugan Center would echo this, but Coach Lee has been fantastic on all of this stuff. Like, I can't say it enough. Anytime that, at least on the podcast, you know, I need an interview or whatever it happens to be, there's zero trouble whatsoever. And he's always warm and welcoming to it. And I would be shocked if it's anything else with your events out there, too. So just underscoring how great Coach Lee is when he's able to get out there and making sure people understand that, too. Like if you've got an event coming near you or you're on your way back to campus, like it is, it's worth your time to just be around Clark because he's first class.
Coach is great to work with. He's definitely made my job a lot easier simply because he's made it a priority of his in order to engage with all of our former football players. And that's been wonderful to see. Of course, it was great, you know, to have one of our own to become the head coach. But the way in which he's just jumped right into it and is building the program to something that all of us would love, all of us would love to support and come back and be involved. And he's out there. He's going out and making himself available, not just hiding in the office or staying in behind closed doors. He's putting himself out there for our alumni to ask questions, to share feedback, and also to give back in many different ways, so with their time and other efforts as well. So we fully welcome them and welcome him. He hasn't even had a chance to experience this because he's pretty much been working so this entire time as we roll out this club. But would love for all of our alumni to just tap in. Coach wants them involved. The players want our alumni involved, and we have to do a better job of showing our support for Coach as well, the way he shows his support to us.
Chris, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. That's the director of the Black and Gold Club, Chris Griffin. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me, Andrew.
We'll step aside. We'll talk with head coach Jerry Stackhouse when we return in just a couple of seconds after this on the Commodore Hour, part of the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
Welcome back to Commodore Hour. Kevin Ingram, Andrew Allegretta. Basketball season's almost here. It kicks off a week from Wednesday. Vanderbilt will host Alabama State here at Memorial Gym. Joined by Coach Jerry Stackhouse. You ready to roll? Does it feel like the season's creeping up on us here?
Yeah, it's getting here fast, man. We're excited about it. The guys, I know they're tired of playing each other and beating up on each other, so they're looking for some other competition. So, but it's good, man. We've been building all summer. The fall has been great. Still getting some guys back into the mix of everything, but I feel really good about where we are right now.
You've had some scrimmage work. A couple general takeaways from those.
I think our defense is ahead of our offense, which is a good thing. It's normally the other way around, but I think our guys are who have been around, have figured it out, and they've been doing a good job of teaching the new guys, and they're picking up on things. I mean, we still have a long, long way to go, but it's encouraging to see the fruits of some of the things we've been pouring in over the last couple of years start to come into fruition, especially with our guys really being connected on that end of the floor.
I enjoy watching Adam Azari and the other coaches and you out here, teaching defense. What are some of the hardest parts for guys coming into this system to learn?
I just think rotations are hard. I mean, most of the time, a lot of these young guys, they played a lot of zone or really try to take the challenge individually, one-on-one, which is a good thing. It's good to have some good individual talent, but trying to play team defense, which is what you have to have to be successful at any level of basketball. But, I mean, for us, that's been some of the trick, understanding, where drives come from and what our rotations are when this happened and when that's happened. And, guys just thought I was supposed to shoot the basketball, man. So,
it's that other end of the court.
Yeah, it's a little, it's eye-opening for the young guys. But I think once they start to see that puzzle and see that picture and it starts to come together for them, it's just as exciting as seeing the ball go through the hole because you're able to dictate things on that side of the ball as well.
What is your principle on how much you're willing to play zone, if necessary? Are we going to stick to man-to-man as much as you humanly possibly can? When are you willing to mix in the zone?
I mean, that's kind of a game plan. I can't give you my game plan like that.
Come on.
That's a possession.
Philosophically,
that's a possession gotcha. By possession thing, man. No, I mean, I think we work on zone. We work on a little bit of a full court press. You never know. You could not be shooting well, get down, run into a hot team. So you have to have some things to stop them. You normally think that if a team is shooting it well from the outside, that conventional thinking is that you wouldn't go to a zone, but I've seen it work. I've seen times when, you know, hot teams, all of a sudden they start to think a little bit once you jump in the zone. Getting down maybe against a hot team again and having to go to like a diamond press or a 2-2-1 press, different things like that. We work on those things, but who we are is a man-to-man team. We want to be able to guard the ball with the group. And I think that's the toughest thing for young guys to have to deal with when they're looking at, you know, multiple bodies and especially at this level.
Who's impressed you defensively so far? Or maybe someone that's taken a stride so far defensively? I recognize, obviously, it's going to be five people effectively communicating to stop an offense. But who are some guys that have shined so far?
Well, I think Rodney Chapman is the when I recruited him, I felt like he could be the gold standard of what it takes to be a guard at Vanderbilt and what we want is how he can have control of the game defensively. Just from the pressure that he puts in, the smart, he has long arms, has quick hands. He's really special defensively, and I think some of that is, you know, it's been contagious with our other guys. You know, once he has really probably helped Scotty more than anything. I mean, I've seen his, you know, defensive intensity pick up just because he's alongside of him. He know that he doesn't have to run the team. Rodney's really good at getting guys in their places, and so I think he's stood out. Guys like, you know, Tyron Lawrence, you know, his length and his, you know him being back out there, seeing some of the things, almost forgot he'd been out for so long that it's like, man, you forget about the length and some of the things that he brings to the table for. So those guys have been good.
Visiting with Coach Jerry Stackhouse, you've talked a lot about wanting Scotty to play off the ball and how Chapman also might help in that regard. How do you feel like that's coming along?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we got a lot of different combinations of guards that we can put out there. And quite honestly, I mean, you know, Trayvon, Tyron, Shane, Peyton. We got a number of guys that have played well and shown that they can bring something to the table for us there. But those guys, I mean, that if we had to start today, they would be our starters. And I think it's been great for Scotty. He's still, you know, he gets the ball when he wants the ball. I mean, we ain't trying to make any bones about it if he wants to run the play, but he, you know, he delegates, he lets ride, and he let those other guys initiate. We got four men, and, you know, Taryn Frank who can handle. Jordan is handling more. I went with a lineup last week where he was the point guard on the other team. So just having a big lineup like that and having that flexibility. But those guys are the guys that we're probably going to, you know, end games with, if I had to say, would be Rodney, Scotty, and Tyron, depending on how he's going, Jordan, and, Liam and Q right now until Liam's back into the mix. And then we got a number of young guys that are hungry and competing every day to try to get some minutes, and we'll see how that goes.
Looking forward to having Liam back full speed, and I mean, he's a guy who can really be a difference maker for this team down low.
Yeah, I mean, he's just a big target. I mean, we play a lot of pick and rolls, and just having a big target like that, the guys have to account for their weak side defense when we already have a lot of fluid motion on that weak side as well, just trying to put you in a bind, and now you're having that type of target. I think it's going to really open things up for everybody, and we know that, and we just want to get him healthy and not having any setbacks. That's why we've been maybe a little more cautious than we maybe even need to be, but he starts his ramp up this week. November 1st has been a big week that we've been targeting to get him back on the floor and starting with individual workouts, doing some dummy offense, and hopefully things continue to progress good and it, kind of get into the mix over the next couple of weeks.
How has Quentin Millar-Brown improved from last year to this season down low?
Quentin's improved just from, since he's been here, his body. I think he came in and he's one of our hardest workers. He's one of our smartest guys. On the court, off the court. I mean, he's the engineer major, so it's like he loves the game. He loves learning, and he's just, one of those guys that, again, when we first got here, we needed some size. He was available. He wanted to kind of test himself to see was he really at this level, from playing at Rice, and he's come in, and, man, he's been a been a huge help for us, and I think he's going to be a guy that's going to push Liam. Liam's going to push him to get better. And I wouldn't be afraid that there could be a lineup where those guys are out there together, you know, especially with Liam's ability to stretch the floor. So we could have a really big, you know, some big lineups, some different things that we haven't had in the past that, we, you know, definitely may look at.
Visiting with Coach Jerry Stackhouse. We'll take a break. Come back with more of Commodore Hour in just a moment on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
Wow, what a great game plan. Let's go down to the locker room and see what Coach has to say.
Okay, team, let's start using the winning play, 83 Green.
Hey, Coach, what's 83 Green?
That's the number you call when you need heating or cooling service. The guys in the green trucks and air conditioning service, where the customer always wins.
Call 83 Green and win with Jim and Chip Red's winning carrier team for more than 60 years. With 83 Green, you turn to the experts. Carrier and air conditioning service. Call 83 Green.
Whether you need a single in-town pickup or international travel arrangements, you can always expect unparalleled reliability and comprehensive service from Gray Line Tennessee Black Car. We take pride in offering the highest level of white glove service, whether you're looking for group or individual transportation. Use code VANDY when you book your Black Car service and receive 10% off. Learn more and book today at graylinetn.com or call 615-714-5466. Gray Line Tennessee Black Car. Be driven.
Our coverage of Vanderbilt athletics rolls along after this word from your local station on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
Genesis Diamond's biggest and final sale of the year is here this weekend. It's an incredible event with savings of 20%, 25%, even up to 35% store-wide. Rings, earrings, pendants, bands, bracelets, nothing's held back for this once-a-year, three-day extravaganza. Acclaimed designers are here with expanded collections and extraordinary pricing. Plus, get 0% interest financing. The final store-wide sale of the year with discounts up to 35% this Friday, Saturday, and yes, open Sunday for this great event. Genesis Diamonds, Green Hills and Cool Springs. See store for details.
When Genesis Diamonds has a sale, you know it's the real deal, and it's happening this weekend. Our final store-wide sale of the year with deep discounts up to 35% off. This is the big one. The one where the staff knows they can break all the rules. Plus, the selection is nearly doubled with designers here from LA and New York with their entire collections, all of it on sale. This is the last and best jewelry buying opportunity of the year. Save up to 35%. Zero interest financing. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday only at Genesis Diamonds, Green Hills and Cool Springs. See store for details.
Nashville's best sports talk. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on the Game Nashville app.
Welcome back to the Commodore Hour. Kevin Ingram with Andrew Allegretta and visiting with Coach Jerry Stackhouse. The Commodore season starts a week from Wednesday with Alabama State here. How much at this point are you starting to look at opponents versus just getting your team ready to play the season?
Well, we've been looking at opponents, you know, since the summer. You know, even when we had a retreat where, you know, pretty much everybody on our schedule that someone has a scout and we went over it and, you know, looked at their kind of style of play. So it's not something that even guys that weren't at that school, we looked at, you know, some of the coaches took over new jobs. So We felt like they probably bring in some of what they did where they were, you know. And so it's just those are things, just kind of tactical things. But more so than that, you know, we still worry about us. You know, I think we have we try to teach a lot of different concepts. So, you know, depending on who we play, we try to bring that concept to the game defensively to try to take away their strengths, and offensively, you know, we have a huge playbook where we try to pick and choose from that playbook what we think will work well against those particular teams. So that's kind of how we approach that from a game-to-game game plan.
I've got a 30,000-foot question for you. I guess it's been about 4 to 5 months at this point since NLI has been available for student-athletes. And your program is one of the more public ones at this university with something like that, with Scotty at the moment. I'm just curious, what impact you've seen? Has it changed anything? Are the guys supportive? Have you had to do anything different? What has NLI meant to this program so far?
Our guys are extremely smart, obviously. You know, they know a lot more about, you know, what's going on than I probably could even imagine and dream about. But I think they're ahead of the game. I mean, obviously being here in Nashville, there's unbelievable opportunities for them, and a lot of those guys have started to capitalize on that already. Scotty's been at the forefront of that. But you know, Max Edelman, you know, Jordan Wright, all of these guys have been able to secure some opportunities for themselves. And, you know, once it finally you know, goes into effect. You know, I think January 1st is the date, you know, here in Tennessee. So things just continue to unfold. I mean, we're all still learning about it. I think our administration has been unbelievable in making sure that they're, you know, onboarding and teaching, you know, what they know from you know, just the implications, different implications, tax implications, different things that come with it that our guys need to be aware of. And, you know Trace Wilgus, he's kind of heads that up. And obviously we have, you know, things in-house here that, but, you know, it's fun. It's exciting. These guys have been having an opportunity to take advantage of their name, their image, and their likeness. And, you know, maybe there's something to keep guys around a little bit longer. I think it's without, you know, you normally feel like I got to go to that next level to be able to earn, you know. And, you know, how these kids come from some tough situations, and but not all of them, but some of them do, and that could be the reason that they're leaving. And now you could have some opportunities to profit off of those things while you're in school. I think it's an exciting time for college basketball, and hopefully it's a positive all the way around.
You know, one thing that I think the fear is, and listening to you speak, it's like, oh, the right guard doesn't have an NIL deal, and the quarterback does, and there might be jealousy between the two. Or one basketball player has one, and the other one doesn't, so the one that doesn't isn't going to pass to the one that does. I've always kind of hunched at this point in time, it's sort of a different brand of student-athlete, where they're very much supportive of the individual processes at this point, I guess, right? So someone gets an opportunity, and the other student-athletes are, generally speaking, they understand the moment. They're going to be happy for them. Do you get that vibe so far? Has there been anything from like a coaching standpoint where you have to manage that sort of stuff, at least so far?
No, I mean, I think people understand it's the real world.
Yeah.
Not everybody's offered the same thing. where they do that at? This is America.
You
know, and I think that's, you know, it's understanding. And it's big business. I mean, obviously people would say, you know, other sports and different things, but, you know, we're not fooling ourselves. We understand what big business is. I mean, football, basketball, it drives revenue, and it's going. And these guys that are on these teams are going to be the ones that, you know, people look to market, because those are the profitable markets that they want to try to invest in and be a part of. So I think, you know, we don't have anything that, you know, it sounds good, and it's, you know, it's probably what a lot of people would think about. But I think our guys understand, you know, market share, what you bring to it, more so than most. So I mean, maybe you know, not talking about anybody, but our guys get it. This Generation Z, they're a lot smarter than we were at this time, and so I think when it comes to, you know, those, you know, business and cause and effect, they're way ahead of the game.
See, this seems like a good opportunity for you to have like your signature line of barbecue sauces and dry rubs.
You know
and all
what
that
I'm
stuff,
saying? It is a fun time, man. Like I said, I'm telling you, man, this is retroactive. I might have to go back and try to, you know, my time in North Carolina. You know.
Jerry Stackhouse brought you by Top of the Hill, right?
Hey, exactly, man. I remember seeing those 42 jerseys in Foot Locker and all, you know, all of those places at that time. So they got away with it for a long time. That looked like they're going to continue to get away with it from here on out.
Time to come back around. Coach Jerry Stackhouse as their guest. I want to ask you about a couple guys and just how different their bodies look when you watch them practice. Jordan Wright, Miles Studi, those two come to mind. What have you liked about the way those guys just worked hard in the weight room to get themselves ready to play this season?
Yeah, man, those guys, they really, you know, took it to another level in trying to change their bodies, and you've seen it in their games. They're quicker. They're able to, you know, get off the floor, you know, more. I think, you know, seeing more dunks from Jordan this fall and this, you know, than I had in the past. And I think he, you know, he enjoyed, I mean, it's how his diet and how he's eating and all those type of things. Obviously, the pandemic, you know, took a toll on us, took a toll on those guys' bodies, and we didn't know how it would affect them. But now they're, you know, they're strong, they're healthy, they feel comfortable in who they are as leaders, who's guys that, you know, been through it, kind of seen some of the tough times, and they're ready to, you know, get on the other side of that. So, and I think their dedication for us to come out of where we've been and really kind of take that next step, you know, was shown in the dedication that they put on their bodies. And, you know, they got, and it's hard for them to keep a shirt on now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I see them working out. They all got the shirts off. And I mean, they're proud of their six packs and you know, so, and we're proud of it too, because I think it's going to really bode well for us as we, you know, really get into this thing.
Yeah, if I had a six-pack, I wouldn't be wearing a shirt pretty
much. You
know
what I'm saying?
A little different story at my age. Well, one thing I noticed in doing some prep for the season and thinking back to last year is how many close games there were. Can you look at that and say, hey, we're not that far away? We make a couple plays at the end of a game and, you know, the season turns around.
Yeah, that's just some of the growing pains that you deal with. I mean, it's like, you know, when we start being competitive, we've always been competitive. It's just we got to win some of those competitive games. And I think that's the next step for, and we know that. You know, it's what those guys are talking about. They're not, you know, not running away from it. You listen to Scotty, he didn't say he came back to try to improve his stop. He came back to win.
Yeah.
You know, he's played well. He's played as well as anybody in this league and well as some people in the country. And we don't see that changing at all. But the other side of it, winning percentage is way down. We got to get the winning percentage up. And that's just our own doing. I mean, like a lot of times, we can't put it on anybody else. It's, you know, execution and things that we know how to do that we didn't do at the end of those games. Whether, you know, we can always go back and blame it on youth and experience. Now we don't have that. We got some guys that have been around, so let's get it done. You're not gonna win every game, but we feel like we have a formula to do it, and if we go out and execute it, and I think most of the guys in our on our roster and in our locker room believe that.
Coach, what about your new staff members? I know you brought in a couple guys with a lot of experience. How have you kind of built that chemistry among the staff?
We got great because they're great people. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what really matters for us. I mean, they came in and understood what we had going on. We weren't broken. You know what I'm saying? We just was, had a lot of close games that we hadn't lost, but it was not like we're coming in and trying to reinvent the wheel. We know how we want to defend. We know how we want to play offense, and you know, just having guys that have been around this game a lot, just little nuances and understanding how to teach, getting back to the finer tuned things. Mm-hmm. We got the big picture mm-hmm. pieces together, but when we really start talking about teaching, stride step, teaching defensive nuances, teaching things as far as finishing, we got two of the best. You know, Ed Conroy is a great teacher of the game of basketball. Mike Curry is the same. So the guys that we had here, I always, shout those guys out, Damani Hendricks and Faraji. They were great for our time, for where we needed to go and, you know, really helping the development. I need some foot soldiers, some guys to be out on the floor. And Adam still serves that, you know, for us in that capacity. I mean, he's a great development coach as well as a great basketball mind. I mean, I don't there's nothing that I'm having communication with Ed or Michael that I'm having about the game of basketball that I'm not having with Adam, I'm not having with Nikki. So I mean, those are my basketball brains. They know what we want to do inside and out, and they were more responsible for the onboarding of our new staff members of how we're going to go about our business, and those guys just come in with ideas of how we're going to enhance that.
Real quick before we go, event at Topgolf coming up on Sunday. Should be a lot of fun to kind of hang out and have a good time there.
Yeah, man, we're excited about that. Obviously, anybody know me know I got a love for the game of golf. So, Andy come up with a good idea of trying to just, get some fans, get our guys out, spending some time in the community, coming in and just enjoying each other before the season, mm-hmm. Gets kicked off. And so we're excited about it. We're going to be out at Topgolf. Come on out and join us. See how you can hit that ball.
It's not very straight in my case. Coach, thanks a lot. Appreciate the time.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
All right. That's Coach Jerry Stackhouse. We will have more of Commodore Hour right after this on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
Hey, it's Brett Doherty. If you're searching for that next new vehicle or thinking about heading down that path, I want to encourage you to visit with my friends at Gupton Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. The summer clearance event is going on now at Gupton. There will be no pressure at all when you visit with these guys. They simply want to get you in the vehicle that's right for you. New or pre-owned car, truck, SUV, or Jeep, my guys at Gupton will help you. 30 minutes from downtown Nashville, 3450 Tom Austin Highway in beautiful Springfield, Tennessee. That's Gupton Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram online at GuptonMotors.com.
Commodore Hour continues in 60 seconds right here on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
If you missed the latest from Stillman & Company, delivered by TriStar Moving.
When you look at the NFL, we've been banging the drum. Derrick Henry is the league's MVP. And that everything that you say about a quarterback, you can say about him. Well, when Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone, Green Bay wasn't very good. When Dak Prescott broke his ankle, Dallas wasn't very good. When Tom Brady tore his ACL, New England wasn't very good. When Peyton Manning had neck surgery, the Colts were the worst team in the league. The Broncos haven't been good since he left. Those are franchise guys. And I think Derek's a franchise guy. So if you're telling me Derrick Henry out for the season, no chance to come back, then I would tell you the season is over. However, that's not what Mike Vrabel said today.
Tune in Stillman & Company with Jared Stillman. Weekday afternoons from 2 to 6.
On ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Nashville's best sports talk. ESPN. 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on the Game Nashville app.
Gus Wedekamp inside the U.S. Bank Studios, closing us out on tonight's Commodore Hour. Time for the Keys to the Game, brought to you by Guffton Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Springfield, serving Middle Tennessee for over 60 years. Vanderbilt and Kentucky, the blackout game in a couple of weeks' time. I think one of the keys for Vanderbilt in this game will be to control the ball and generate first down, stay ahead of the chains, try and wear out that tough and very physical Kentucky defensive front. So that will just about do it for tonight's edition of the Commodore Hour. Make sure to download the Anchor podcast to hear Andrew with Chris Griffin and Andrew and Kevin with Coach Jerry Stackhouse. Thanks again to Chris and Coach Stack for taking the time to talk with Andrew and Kevin. And, of course, don't forget our coverage of Vanderbilt and Kentucky in 2 weeks' time, the blackout game at Vanderbilt Stadium. So, for Kevin, Andrew, everyone here at the Commodore Sports Network from Learfield, I'm Gus Wedekamp, signing off. Commodore Nation, good night.
Thanks for listening to Commodore Hour. Tonight's episode was brought to you by the Middle Tennessee Ford Dealers. Built Ford Tough. Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt Athletics. And by Guptan Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Springfield. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Vanderbilt Sports Network.